This is Bart Isley, and I'm here with Ryan Yeaman, the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast, and we've finally jumped into basketball season. It's time to talk about getting in the gym. It's been a long football season, kind of typically long football season with Goochland going all the way to state semifinals, but we've gotten a chance to see a good amount of basketball over the last couple of weeks, and the way the Jefferson District schedule worked out, we got to see a rivalry game in Almar versus Western. We got to see Charlottesville versus Monticello. We've already seen some of the big rivalries already taking place.
Yeah, it did not take long. It seems like it used to be you had to wait until January to get these events. And now, since basketball season kind of almost starts like the last week of November, you got teams playing. Like, a lot of that out-of-conference stuff gets played really early on. And the season just seems to pick up a lot quicker than it used to, say, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, early rivalry games, like the first of the 20 meetings that Almar and Western will have with each other between holiday tournaments and whatnot. So good to see. I mean, December is so much about these teams trying to figure out what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, basketball season, I feel like, is really compartmentalized differently the way other sports are, where, you know, nothing is won and lost in December. Then you really start to get your identity out of the break in January, and then by February you better have it together because the tournaments are about to start there.
Yeah, and I think that it was interesting, and there's Almar Western in particular has a lot of the sort of lead actors are back. You've got Ryan Ingram for Western, Josh Kaufman, Chris McGarren, those guys are all back. Austin Kress, a very much improved Austin Kress, is back. And then on Almar's side, that group that we all got to know really, really well with the state semifinal run, they're back. Austin Katstra, Jake Hahn, you know, guys that have been, you know, in that mix for a long time. Ryan Ingram played a lot as a freshman. Austin and Jake, they played a lot as freshmen. And it's fun to see that group sort of get to, you know, what is the final chapter.
Yeah, this is their swan song, and a lot of pressure on, you know, both teams, Western and Almar, to be as good as they were last year. I think that's a really difficult goal for both teams to try and get back into that state tournament. They lost a lot of role players, but like you said, the featured players are back. So you would like to think that there are different complements around them. Certainly in Western's case, I mean, they got a lot of experience last year. They rolled with such a big bench. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this season, what they settle on for a starting five or, you know, six man off.
It seems like they got some of that figured out. I mean, Ryan Ingram, Kaufman, McGarren, Kress, that's sort of the core. Mm-hmm. And then there's just this wave of other guys that they're developing. They got a couple of younger, you know, super young guys in the mix. They've got Teo Rampini, who's getting involved in that mix as well.
And that's going to be big for them getting post players, because Michael Bale was a big deal for them last year. You know,
those guys were Carrington
Murphy was huge. Like,
oh, they were tough.
Yeah,
they're tough. They played
didn't
really
show
hard.
On the stat sheet the way that you would sort of expect from big name player kind of thing. But they did all these little jobs that were asked of them. And so if Western gets good post play, I mean, they should be able to take big strides forward.
And when it came to Almar in particular, and I talked, you know, with some of those guys after, you know, the Western game, that was what Western was able to do last year, is throw these sort of waves of post players at Katstra and then wear them down over time. I mean, I think part of it this year was that they couldn't wear them down, but another part of it, you know, because they just didn't have the depth. They don't have the immediate depth that they had last year. But another part of it is that Katstra is much improved as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger, he's stronger. And I think that he's
healthy. Last year, he dealt with a lot of, like,
he was really banged up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really let the game come to him, too, against Western. And that's kind of what he said afterwards, was that, you know, he didn't try and do too much early. And then in the fourth, it was on. I mean, like, they were feeding it to him, pumping it to him, either on the block or at the elbow. He's just so versatile. It's just a really unique player. A guy that, you know, he can do so many different things. He can hit that jumper at the elbow, or he can get down low and really make you work down there. Very good on the boards. So it's really interesting to watch his sort of development and just how he handled that game this time around.
Yeah, and not just his game alone, but you like Albemarle's versatility, their flexibility, particularly on offense. Because Jake Hahn can pour in 30.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Jake can get moving. And Jaquan Anderson?
He's going to be, I think that's the real wild card for this Albemarle team is what kind of player Jaquan Anderson's going to be. We saw what he could do, you know, as a leader on the football field. I mean, he's so athletic. He's just a gifted, talented player.
Big, strong.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bull. And that, having that extra physical presence for Albemarle is going to be huge, especially the big question mark for them was what do you do losing a Miles Adams-Yates, who was the best defender that team had over the last 2 years. His assignment was to guard the toughest player. Losing him, okay, well, with Anderson in place, maybe he's that guy to sort of trigger a lot of things for them.
And he can do a little more offensively. He's very, very good at driving and attacking. He did that some against Western. I mean, he just really, he got to the rack.
He's not afraid to contact. We saw that this fall.
He is not going to mess around. He's just so good at driving, and he can either drive and kick, or he can move it out. He can, you know, some little short stuff to catcher if catcher's crashing. Like you said, like Hahn is just always there. I mean, he is always productive. He's always doing whatever they need. He hit a shot at the end of the third quarter that was just a clinic. I think he moved to the left. He cut it back. One fake didn't open it up. He hit another fake, and then he hit it. And he hit a mid-range jumper that was a big one for him. That was a big shot. That guy, always there, always consistent, always sort of producing. And they've got, you know, beyond those three guys, there's some other.
Nile Anderson's kid to watch.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot. The Albemarle has a lot of potential. They just have to sort of see how things play out early on in December and of course, you know, stay healthy.
I think it's Cartier Key. I think it's Cartier's Arnold. One, yep. It's just a lot of these guys that can play. And I think that if they can keep building that depth, they can keep working on those guys in, you know, create some minutes. But there's not a lot of minutes to go around, really, because Catcher and Hahn are going to play a ton. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe they're able to kind of work them in and give them some breathers. But the other night, I think they put up 90 against Fluvanna. That's a lot of points.
I think we're in agreement. I mean, out of the gate, Albemarle is way out in front of most of the teams chasing. Western maybe a little bit behind them. And you know,
if Western, I mean, the other thing is that game is totally different, I think, if Western is shooting a little better than they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked like, you know, when McGarren is on, I mean, it's on.
When Kaufman and McGarren,
when those two Ingram's are going, I mean, like, when all those shots are falling, they are so tough to beat. So I think that, you know, if Western, you know, kind of makes a little more progress on defense and can kind of get things, that's going to be a pretty even matchup, really. I mean, Albemarle hit the pedal and pushed down on them in the fourth, but that game was even for three quarters for a reason. Western is not going to go away.
No.
So when we kind of look at the public school ranks, it looks like those two have kind of distanced themselves. We're going to get to some of these other public school squads in the coming weeks as we get to see a little more basketball. But, you know, and there are teams to get excited about. There's Louisa, there's Monticello, that have some players that have some serious potential that could be teams that kind of make improvements as the year goes on. But one team that's already making those improvements and was pretty much a different team from 1 week to the next is Blue Ridge. You got a chance to see them before and after.
Yeah, I mean, you knew on paper Blue Ridge was going to be very good with what they returned. You lose Scott Spencer, that's a big hole to fill, but Amir Sims going to Clemson, big guy for them, just gets better and better, more fundamentally sound. Really, really stepped up as a leader for them. You can see that in just the first 2 weeks of play here. But yeah, this team brings back Josh Colin. You know, they've got a lot of experience. It's losing Malik Johnson hurt, but I feel like they rolled so deep as a bench last year. That was maybe the best bench we saw in the state, and they might be in position to do the same thing again this year. I was really impressed with the effort they put in at Fork Union, big road win. And since that St. Anne's game to start the year, they have just been clobbering people. I mean, by 30, 40 points. And I
really
know
put it on the Australians. Not kind to them.
Yeah. I think it was like 70 to 16 or something like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I know sometimes there's some disparity in terms of Blue Ridge's talent is just overwhelming their opponents. But as they head into their Christmas break and into January, that team, wow, is a state runner-up last year. They're certainly in position to make a big run this year if they just keep improving. I love how much the minute distribution that team gets right now. There's so much experience going around, and it's just going to make them so much better down the road.
Don't they have to play that way? And they have to use that many guys because of the way they play, right?
Defensively, it is 32 minutes of hell.
Yeah.
I mean, they are pressing. They're all over the court. This team flies up and down. As such, they're a ton of fun to watch. yeah, anytime you see that much ball pressure, you just don't have the energy unless you have a bench that deep. I mean, you figure a guy like Sims is going to play every minute of the game. You're wrong. You know, he's sucking wind on the bench because he's he's part of the defensive game plan too.
He is so active for a big guy.
Yep.
I mean, he moves really well. His footwork's incredible. Moves like a guy on the wing, and it's fun to see him play.
And a lot of that is because that's his development as a player. Even, you know, early on, he's a big, tall kid. He's a post player, and then, you know, eighth grade freshman year, he became more of a wing player, and then now he's back into the post, and he's been on so many different spots on the floor that he's got a really unique skill set. He's sort of seen the game from every possible angle, aside from playing point guard, it seems like.
Yeah. Three of these guys we already talked about are in the current issue that we've got out on the website. Certainly worth going to give that a read. Yeah, we're a little bit into the season now, but gives you a lot of information, gives you an idea of some of, you know, who those guys are, where they've been developmentally. And when it comes to Blue Ridge in particular, I think one of the games you always look forward to with the Barons is when they play Miller.
Yeah, and we're going to get back to, I think, the Blue Ridge Miller era of, you know, when it was Malik Cohn and Andrew White, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Good one.
When those were must-see events, probably the biggest games in our area, period. You know,
what did we have? I think we had two. We had Brees and Marshawn and those guys versus was it Darnell Turner, I think? It was at Blue Ridge. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have some really, you know, some great battles over the years.
Yeah, that was the 2009-2010 season.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those two teams met up again, I think, in the state semifinals.
They played
5 times. Because it would be the VIC, well, there are two meetings, the VIC tournament and then the state tournament. I think we're going to get back to the guts of that rivalry the way it's used to be. Miller's got a really fun athletic group. They're young, but I'm a big fan of their guard Wade, watching him. He's so energetic. He brings a lot of spark to this team. And Hyatt, I mean, just a sophomore, but he is a big kid, and he can shoot, he can rebound, he can do a little bit of everything. You don't see a sophomore like that too often come around. I think we'll see how much Miller develops. Again, they're young. They have a lot of sort of ironing out to do. Maybe not quite as much as not in the same boat as Blue Ridge, but they could be such a fun team to watch down the road. And then certainly that game's going to be outstanding.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that if you went 5-on-5, that's going to be great. But like you said, Blue Ridge's depth can make a big difference against even the best squads.
So, I mean, the way we've seen everything play out with them is teams can keep it close in the first half, but by the second half, you're just gassed.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have it. And that's when they break off one of those 12-2 runs, and you just really sort of, you know, snap your neck there. It's too much.
So the other team you've gotten a chance to see is St. Anne's. You get to see Jaden Nixon doing a little bit of work.
It's a very different St. Anne's team without Javon DeLaurier and Jalen Harrison.
Let's be clear. I mean, there's no program that can really maintain after the loss of a guy like Javon DeLaurier.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge void they're trying to fill. And so they look very different just in the way they operate. It's not just a personnel thing. You know, the way they run their offense has to be different because they're, you know, you're missing Kareem Johnson, all these other guys. There's a lot of pieces.
Jalen Harrison.
Yep. So this team, right now we're seeing they're sort of living and dying by the three. But Jaden Nixon is getting a chance to showcase himself in a way that, you know, he was a bit more of a role player in that team behind Javon and the gang. Not anymore. He is the featured event, and he's an exceptional talent. I mean, his size and his ability to just sort of fly and make some great post presence, right? But he's such a good three-point shooter. He can spot up from anywhere on the floor. So where they go as Jaden goes, but they need the help from the outside perimeter shooting. You know, the Matt Palumbos of the world, Nick Kent. St. Anne's is obviously a project. They've got a lot to work out. But I think the schedule they play up front, getting to play Blue Ridge and Miller the first 2 weeks, those two teams are as good as they're going to see in the prep league when they jump in to play Woodbury and, you know, St. Chris and Collegiate and all those guys. So St. Anne's is definitely getting the chance to learn a lot about it themselves these first couple weeks.
Woodbury's a team that I got a chance to see them. They're sort of working on who they are right now. the core of that team last year was Max Johns and Joe Foley. And those two guys aren't there anymore. Johns is out with an injury. So they're trying to figure things out right now. What did you see from Fork Union? Obviously a buzzsaw in Blue Ridge that they ran into.
I mean, Fork Union, it's the same for them. I mean, they go through personnel at a different rate than anybody else, you know, military school like that. So they've got a lot to work on. They've got some pieces in the paint, some big guys that can, you know, work with, but definitely a situation where they have to sort of, in the Blue Ridge game, it was pretty clear that you can't turn over the ball the way that they were doing it at that rate. I mean, struggling to handle a little bit of ball pressure, and so they just have to
likely get what every team is going to face against Blue Ridge.
Fork Union just has to get everybody sort of figured out in terms of what they, like you said with Woodbury, what they want to be. But more so than that, just basic fundamentals is in the, you know, the one game, small sample size, but one game that I saw of them.
Well, we flip over to the girls' side. Obviously, it's interesting to watch because there's a lot of lead actors back on that side as well. When you look at
all of them are at Charlottesville.
Yeah, Charlottesville has got that whole crew is back, and it starts with Elijah Ragland and Destiny McDonald, who have just been very, very good for a long time now.
Yeah, and you sort of put them in the same boat as when you talk about Castro or Ingram, that they've been playing this game for so long. They've been varsity starters and really been leaned on heavily. Destiny McDonald had just an enormous year last year.
Yeah.
And she's perfectly comfortable pouring in 30 points here and there whenever she needs to. Ragland can shoot
here, there, whatever. 30 points, whatever.
Yeah. Charlottesville is just so loaded, and they're getting kids back that were missing last year. They have an opportunity to really take another step forward. That was a really good team last year. Team that played great down the stretch in January and February. It's hard to believe they have so much coming back.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job over there of kind of developing some pieces around Ragland and Destiny, and I think that both of those kids, just like you said, like they're scorers, but they can also do some other things. They can make some things happen. Ragland is really active in passing lanes on defense. She's created a lot of steals, which in turn creates a lot of fast breaks. Sort of a one-woman fast break. Mm-hmm. She does a really nice job on that. So Charlottesville is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. Already have seen some really good things from them.
Yeah, and I think we'll wait to see if anybody can challenge them. I mean, you look at the way the district, what it lost in a lot of different schools. I mean, Orange County, a lot of replacements going on over there. That Charlottesville might not be as battle-tested this year as they were last year. We'll see how Albemarle should be improved. Maybe that's a squad that they can give them a run. Certainly defensively, Albemarle is always going to be there. That'll be
Tyler Cooper for Albemarle is one of those players that, like, I don't feel like she's super flashy, but she is so good at getting the little things done. She's good at getting to the line or picking up a loose ball and knocking down. That is the kind of glue kid that can make things really tough. They've got some other pieces that are coming together really nicely for them. They're playing really good defense. They're playing really hard. I mean, they're doing some things right over there.
And that
right
team
now
was so young last year. Yeah. And trying to replace KK Barber was sort of an impossible task for that group. They don't have to worry about that this year. It's different. It's a much different feel to Albemarle. Just not nearly as young and green as they were. They had so much experience.
Yeah, the win over Western in Crozet, that's a great win for them. Really kind of gives them a little bit. And they were able to press it and speed Western up. If they're able to kind of do that, you know, they can challenge things. They can, you know, things can get interesting. But
And the other guy to watch out for there is Louisa.
Yeah.
Louisa sort of made the big strides last year and putting itself on the map as a team. You know, tired of getting run over in the JD. And they got to swing back a little bit last year. And now with Ty Skinner, a point guard, I mean, that team has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. They let's talk about it. Skinner is a different kind of point guard. She is very explosive, really attacks really well. You know, what have you kind of seen already from her?
I mean, we saw it last year, just the overall athletic ability. It's tough being a young point guard at, you know, boys or girls. There's such like a maturation process, and obviously from a coaching standpoint, how are you going to use them? Is this a distributor, or is this somebody who can just get all the jobs done themselves? Skinner has the ability to do anything on her own. She's lightning fast.
Yeah.
Her passing ability for a sophomore, that ball flies around the court. These are not sort of lobbed passes. You got to be ready when you're playing with her. You're going to get hit with no-look stuff, behind-the-back stuff. And she can fit things into small passing lanes. I mean, she's a very active passer, but has finishing skills that you know, you salivate for if you're a coach. And she can get to the rack, and she can hit her free throws. She's going to be a – we were talking about it before, trying to figure out who do we compare her to as far as Jefferson District point guards go to, and Shante Payne was the name we came up with.
Yeah, you got to go pretty deep to find a really fast attacking point guard. We've had some really good deliberate ones. Hudgens out at Orange has just been there for a long time. She's been very good at it. Destiny McDonald's not really like – I don't think of her as a true point guard, but she can distribute. Mm-hmm. She can move things. She's very fast. Can attack Skinner, and you know, maybe there's something there, but Shante Payne, that's, I think that's a really good comparison.
Yeah, outside of that, I think you maybe like the 1 year Javonique Burris played at Louisa, maybe you go there.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah. The Javonique Burris experience in yeah. basketball was a lot of fun to watch.
It was fascinating, it was short lived.
So, obviously, Louisa has something special at the point, they've got some other pieces working around them. When you look at another team that needs a little bit of help at the point, is working things out, you know, from a guard's perspective. Weave Monroe, that was sort of the big piece that was missing last year. They had some injuries at that spot. But we know the Weave Monroe girls. We know what they've got in the post. DeJour Strother and Sam Burdell, that's as good as a post game gets, I think, in the area. I don't think there's any real comparison.
Yeah, I don't think there's any front court in the area, maybe, you know, at the Division III level, it's maybe got that 1-2 punch, that got sort of firepower from the two of them. But, yeah, they had so many senior guards last year, and then you got to go replace them now. That's going to be a real challenge for them. You look for them to – maybe you get it. It's not a – maybe that's a committee that sort of gets it done there.
It's going to be some Sam Burdell, too, if you're real honest about it. That's what it's going to be. And I think that the great thing is that Strother gives them the ability to do that because they're not – you're not vacating the post by moving Brunell out, which I think we've seen before when, you know, a true four. I mean, look, Sam Brunell can be 1-5. She can be whatever she wants to be. But, you know, we've seen when a bigger, taller player has to go out to the point, we've seen them sometimes struggle because of what you lose in the post. But Strother gives them a big-time post presence. She's one of the best in the area, you know, and so that's what's going to be some of that. But they're working on that. But they picked up a bunch of wins already. And they're finding ways to get it done. They're gutting games out a little bit right now. And then hopefully they're going to start to find a little bit of a groove here.
Yeah, and the goal for them is, you know, to be up there with the George Masons in the Bull Run District. That's the perennial power. That's who they're sort of fighting against. If they play well, if they show well against a Mason squad, then we know that they've taken those next steps forward.
This team won a conference title last year, made a lot of strides, big time season. You know,
they're gonna, it was a breakout season for them. Yeah,
yeah. I think that it's going to be fun to watch. You know, how they keep working things in, how they keep figuring things out. They're just an interesting squad to watch.
And the way that district's sort of set up, Mason and Monroe so far out in front of everybody, you get the opportunity to tinker a lot when it comes to your you know, second half play, and there's an opportunity for them to really develop a lot of different wrinkles.
Figure out some things, you know, and try some different things. I think you can try some different players and kind of figure things out, and they're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep going. They work really hard up there. They keep trying to figure things out, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch how that team develops.
Absolutely.
So, lot to watch. We're gonna, a lot of basketball coming up. A lot of teams that we're going to be picking up. We'll definitely be back with you next week and ready to talk some more hoops.